Is the TGA meeting its charter? As part of the Australian Department of Health, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, the TGA, has specific responsibilities around regulating therapeutic goods, including prescription medicines and vaccines. According to its own customer service charter, its overall purpose is to protect public health and safety. Its conduct since the early part of 2020 has many people asking the question, is the TGA meeting its charter? There is a link below which leads to a GoFundMe page, which has now been closed off. No more funds, thank you. However, update 27, dated the 6th of July, was interesting. The frustration is palpable. And to read it, scroll down the page to the bottom of the latest update and click on See Older Updates. Essentially, it outlines the obstacles placed in the way of having an application for assessment accepted. A bit of background. Nikolai Petrovsky is a South Australian-based vaccine developer. He has contracted to the US government and provided them with a number of vaccines. His company has developed a number of effective vaccines against SARS, MERS, and swine flu, amongst others. He has developed a COVID-19 vaccine, which has been trialed and is in use in Iran. He has been trying, virtually since day one of the COVID-19 pandemic, to get approval from the TGA, the Aussie equivalent of UK's MHRA. Despite having a track record of successful vaccine development, government grants went to the University of Queensland with no history of anything to do with vaccines. Predictably, their phase one trials failed and their effort ended. The TGA has since granted a provisional determination, the application for which cost $50,000, I'm told, but Vaccine Proprietary Limited can now apply for provisional registration. Goodness knows how much that will cost. On their website, the TGA says, quote, in making its decision to grant Vaccine Proprietary Limited a provisional determination, the TGA considered all eligibility criteria, including factors such as the evidence of a plan to submit comprehensive clinical data and the seriousness of the current COVID-19 pandemic, unquote. This clearly applies to those it chooses, not to Pfizer, AstraZeneca, or Moderna. More from the TGA website. Another quote. We carefully assess the results of clinical trials and the way in which the trials were conducted. We require well-designed trials of a sufficient length with a sufficient number of people who represent the people for whom the vaccine is intended. The results must demonstrate that the benefits of the vaccine greatly outweigh the risks. Unquote. I was going to highlight some of that excerpt in the article, but it is 100% nonsense when applied to the provisional approvals TGA gave to Pfizer et al. There are few benefits to the provisionally approved COVID-19 vaccines. The risks, including immune system degradation, as well as serious adverse events, short and long term, continue to grow. On the article associated with this podcast, there is a graph from health.gov.au on COVID-19 case numbers. It lists both new cases and cumulative cases. There were no vaccines, as we know, in 2020, and the line for cases was pinned to the bottom of the graph. Vaccinations rolled out throughout 2021, and from halfway through 2021, there was a slow uptick of cases. Mass vaccination was achieved by the end of 2021. And at the beginning of 2022, the line for cumulative cases went into orbit. What has happened in 2022? Is the current state of the pandemic classified as serious or not when viewed in a historical perspective? What would the graph suggest? The existing vaccines clearly do not work. They don't stop infection, symptoms, or transmission. Why do health authorities continue to insist they do? Why are adverse events not being investigated as a matter of the highest priority in analysing risk versus benefit? Why are obstacles continuing to be placed before Vaccine Proprietary Limited? When all benign explanations are ruled out, what conclusion must be drawn?